really get started with it. The Lord just, if you'll just take look at the Bible, if you've read the entire Bible and looked at the Old Testament on through, there's really just two major events that are focused on. One is the first appearing of Christ, you know, that He is going to come and save us from our sins. And the second is He's going to come again, and that He's going to put us into an eternal a place of bliss without time limits, past, present, future, all together. And He's going to take us, and He's going to make this world back into a perfect dwelling place, this universe, going to redeem it. And we'll be living beyond the vanishing point with Him forever and ever and ever. And the focus of the Scriptures speak of those things. And, of course, the Jewish people forgot or didn't realize the first coming because they were so focused on the second one, because that is going to be a glorious thing, that the King of the universe is going to reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, and then the whole universe is going to be dissolved, and He's going to start all over again. But we're going to be around. We're going to be around because we're eternal, and it's all good. If the last book has the answer, if you know, if you're in the back of a math book or the back of a biology book or something, and if you were to be able to take that book into the classroom and take a test, what would you do? You turn to the very back here, chapter 5, answer number 13. Oh, this is the answer. This is how you checked your math homework, wasn't it? When you took algebra, you looked in the back of the book and the answers were there. They're here in Revelation. The unveiling of Jesus Christ is what that means, the unveiling, the appearing of Him in glory is the answer to the entire book here. And we're going to take a glimpse at some of that this morning, and I'm really excited about that. Pray for my kids. They're in Easton doing the worship for the church up there that we've been working with, and excited about that. And 1 o'clock, we're going to give an expression of what we've already said with our hearts and with our mouths, with our entire being. We're going to say, Lord, You are I'm Yours. I want to wash that old way of living, that old way of thinking away, and come up a new creation and present that to everyone. That's my confession before You, and it's an exciting thing. And it will be a monument, an altar that you can build in your life. And for the rest of your life, you can look back and say, God, I remember when I did this. When I did this, I want You, Lord, to come back and be Lord. If you sort of slide away, it's there to come back to. Hopefully, it's a monument that will stand strong in your life all the rest of the days of your life, but it's always going to be there to come to, see? So I encourage you, if you've not been baptized as an adult, you should do it. You should make that decision and say, yes, be Lord. I don't want just fire insurance. I want that abundant life You talk about. I want to say, yes, God, come in and reign in my heart. Be Lord of my life for the rest of my days. And do it. And do it before the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing to do. All right. Let's start out this morning here. I thought about this a minute. We're talking about the rapture. This is the verses in 1 Thessalonians 4 that we're going to talk about the rapture of the church. This wild and crazy idea. We can turn on Star Trek and watch an episode of Star Trek, and everybody gets in their little beam-me-up thing, and they turn a button, and they vaporize and shoot up, and then their bodies are reconstituted again in another location. And we go, hey, they'll probably invent that someday. It's already there, folks. Enoch, one of the first men walking on the planet, said he walked with God. He was, and then he was no more. He got beamed up. And guess what? His body will be reconstituted. His body will be reconstituted. And as we're going up, if we're still alive, when Jesus calls us, when He blows the trumpet, guess what? We'll meet Enoch. His body will get reconstituted, and we'll walk and we'll go with it. He's with the Lord now, but bodily He's not. So we're going to look forward to a time to be beamed up, to have our corruptible bodies replaced with incorruptible bodies. You don't get the same one back when you vaporize. You get a new one. And it doesn't seem so wild in our imagination to think of time machines and beam-me-up scientific molecular reconstructions and things like that. Well, God can take every atom in the universe and make it however He wants to. He's that powerful. He's God. He flung the scars out. He measured them in the span of His hands. He can take the dust and the crud at the bottom of the ocean and reconstitute it into a human body, an incorruptible heavenly body that will last forever, anytime He wants to. He's going to choose to do it at the rapture of the church. And so we're going to look at that. Well, first thing, guys, there is some biblical proof text that you will be raptured before women. Turn to Revelation 8:1, where the answers are in the back of the book, real quickly. Revelation 8:1. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Guy's got to go first at least by half an hour. Precedes you, see? It's the only way it could happen. Of course, ladies, if you want to hold to that, that the men get raptured first, we'll turn to our text this morning, which is 1 Thessalonians 4. And ladies, you can respond with our proof text for this morning, which basically says in 1 Thessalonians 4, that the dead in Christ will rise first. That's y'all's response to the guys. Oh, ha, 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 ha. Okay. Let's read our verses from 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 5:11. I remember John up here a few weeks ago, and he says, Jesus is coming back. I mean, really? This is hard to believe. He's really coming back. Have you thought about that? How preposterous that really sounds? Jesus Christ is going to come back. Doesn't that sound like, huh? How can that be? Does the world think you're nuts, don't they? That's a concept to go, Jesus is coming back. Say that out there today when you're in the mall, somewhere around people and stuff, and see how they look at you. Come on, I'm serious. Am I not right? Jesus is coming back. Jesus is going to call us, and our body, those of us that are alive, when he does call, our bodies are going to be instantly, in the twinkling of an eye, turned from a body that's made to dwell on earth to a body that's made to dwell in heaven. Boom. For eternity. It's there. Not only that, before that happens, he's going to call out all the molecules of human bodies, their atoms that are now they're buried in sediment and in the sea and blowing in the wind and in meadow muffins and wherever they are, and boom, they're going to be reconstituted into an incorruptible body, reunited with their spirit, and then we're going to come up and meet them. Ha! You think I'm nuts, right? I didn't say it. The Bible does. Let's read what it says. But I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, isn't that an interesting thing to start out with? You know, four times in the New Testament, Paul uses this term, I don't want you to be ignorant. Amazingly, the four times he uses this, and I'm going to do a study on it sometime to present it to you guys, the four places he says this are the biggest schisms in the body of Christ, places where he writes to the church not to be ignorant, to understand this. He talks about Israel. He talks about the wiles of the devil. He talks about spiritual gifts, and he talks about the rapture of the church. These are the four things he discusses and says, starts out by saying, don't be ignorant, church. Understand this. And of the four things that has divided the body of Christ into hundreds of denominations. And they're the very exact things that do that. It's an interesting thing, concept to look at. I don't want you to be ignorant. Brethren, that's believers. You can't get an unbeliever to believe this. This is nonsense to them, guys. This is comic book stuff. This is Spider-Man stuff. It really is. This is a letter to the church, the body of Christ that has been saved and has the Spirit of God in them so that we can understand the deep things of God, that there's something amazing that's going to happen to the church, the ones that he's called out and placed his Spirit in. He says, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Do you know what cemetery means? Anybody? Sleeping place. Sleeping place. Guess who named cemetery? Christians. The term didn't even come into being after there were Christians. Because Christians in the early church understood that that believers don't die. Jesus said we don't ever die. We live forever. Though your body may die, yet you live. Because spiritually, we're alive with Christ immediately upon physical death. And so that's just a resting place. That's just a place where the body's sleeping for. It may decompose. Worms may eat it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it just comes to nothing. But there's going to be a day when Jesus just says, come back together, body. I want you to be reunited with the Spirit that's with me and live for eternity in a body. Amazing. And so, fallen asleep. Those that are sleeping in a cemetery. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. I'll just go ahead and read the rest of it real quick. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. I'll just stop there for a minute and just give you a highlight here. Remember I talked about the church at Thessalonica, the persecution they were under. Some were being killed. Some were being imprisoned. They were losing loved ones right and left, this church in Thessalonica, under heavy persecution. Paul has been telling them that there's going to be a glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. He's going to come back. You know, it's going to be amazing. He's going to call us up. We're going to be forever in eternity with him. And they were going, oh, man, what about our loved ones that have gone? They got put in prison and died with pneumonia and all these things. What, are they going to miss all this? What about them? And Paul says, oh, man, I don't want you to understand this. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. Those that have already passed before you, your loved ones and stuff that have died, you're not going to precede them. They're just sleeping. God's going to reconstitute their being and reunite their spirits with their bodies. And then he's going to call. He's going to rapture the church up to meet them. He's going to do this thing. They're not missing it at all. They're in bliss. They're in a heavenly place. They're having a wonderful time with Christ. They're with him right now. And there's going to be a time when their bodies are going to be reunited with their spirits with Christ. And then we will be called up to meet them in the air. That's what he's saying. He's saying, don't worry, don't sorrow like those that don't have this hope. I'm telling you, I've done some funerals. And you do a funeral for believers, it's one thing. Yeah, there's sorrow, there's hurt. We miss the smell, we miss the voice, we miss the touch of our loved ones. No question about it. It's hard and it hurts and a grieving thing. But there's a hope that goes with that. There's a hope I'm going to see them again. We're going to have bodies again. We're going to have bodies again. We're going to be able to embrace one another and talk with one another and see one another. That's a hope the world doesn't understand. What does the world, what does the unbeliever think eternity is? What do you do? What does the Buddhist Eastern mystic do? Turns inward inside and takes a leap of faith into their inner being, their chakras. What does that mean? Emptiness, darkness. There's nothing there except a sinful human being that's going to burn and fall apart and decompose. But what's eternal, see, is God that created the universe, and we're going to be with him in his glory. That's what the promise is. It's a hope. And so we don't sorrow as those. It's hard for a pastor to do a funeral service and not know if the person that died is going to be with God. Because they've got to be somewhere. And the other choice isn't good. And it's a hard thing. But when you're doing one with the body of Christ, it's a time of rejoicing as well as sorrow. It's a difference. And Paul says, this is the thing you guys need to understand. You've got something that the world doesn't. And yeah, you're seeing these things happen. But hey, you know what? We're all going. There's one thing for sure on this earth right now. For every person that is born, that person will die. Anybody have found a difference there? That fact doesn't hold true. That law doesn't hold true. Every person that's ever been born will die. It's a fact. It's always happened. It's always, and it will continue to happen. God's numbered our days. We don't know when, but we have a hope that though our bodies die, our physical, our spiritual being will live for eternity, and God promises to give us bodies to live in for eternity. That's mind-boggling. I'm sorry about it. If y'all guys don't think that's absolutely insane thinking. It is. But it's true.